Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church here in Tampa. And I had just said to our folks here, and for those who may be listening, the battle belongs to the Lord. And I know that whoever's listening to this message, there's a battle out there. I know that. I have battles in my life. You have battles in yours. Or skirmishes sometimes. You say, well, it's not really a battle. It's a skirmish. Somebody else says, Mark, it's not a battle. It's a war, man. And so I understand that. I understand that. Some people are having tremendous campaigns or wars, so to speak, with physical issues. And physical issues, they get into spiritual issues because you get tired of being tired. You get tired of having whatever it is that you have. But I know the battles are raging. Arthur, I know there's been battles. I know that. You have showed me on your body some battle scars. And some people don't have the outward, overt, visible battle scars, but they have deep, deep crevices and scars in their hearts where they've been through battles. And a lot of those battles, they have cried out to the Lord, but they were kind of, not really committed, but fearful of God, acknowledging God, knowing that God is there, but not really including Him to be Lord in that battle. Not really saying to God, I can't do this. Just out of fear saying, God, help me. And when God bails you out of that hole, then, that's history. It was nice. God got me out and I acknowledged and I gave testimony to God. But anyhow, you turn around, you do your own thing again, over and over again. But you always know that God is there, but not really committed. And sometimes that goes on for a few years in some people's lives. For the thief on the cross, it went all his entire life until that last moment when he asked Jesus, to have mercy on him. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. I love it. I love the last minute, but I would never, ever tell anybody to count on those last minute, bailouts, from the Lord. You don't want to do that. Besides, your whole life is wasted and you're not being useful for the glory of God. And so the Bible says, remember the Lord in your days of your youth. I know there's battles out there. I know that. And so I'm not going to sit down and have a pity party with you over that, but I'm going to encourage you to seek the living God who can help you because you cannot do it yourself. I want to share something with you in our message today. It's about giving the battle to the Lord, but I want to read to you your take-homes today and share with you some things out of here because I'm just looking to the Lord today what we need to go over. And sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient to the day is the food that we need to eat thereof. So let me just share this with you and we'll see what the Lord does with this. God's providence is for those who will humble themselves before Him and depend upon Him at all times in every circumstance. And we'll read something about that in just a minute. Every circumstance. We had a song up here earlier about circumstances. Talking about all the circumstances. And I want to say to you, there's a whole lot of circumstances going on other than meeting here on Sunday morning or Wednesday or when you're doing your Bible study or you're praying with your family. There's a lot of circumstances in between all those dots. And the Lord wants to connect. He wants a flow. He wants a continuity. All those dots need to be connected and they need to say, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus at work, Jesus at play, Jesus in getting ready to do a study at the university or wherever it is, Jesus at work, Jesus learning this, Jesus in front of somebody that's not very pleasant that you want to tell them to take a hike. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And one of the most difficult things that you can do for let somebody else be in control, or an example, would be in the world of traffic and driving and you're not driving, somebody else is. Jesus. Jesus in that moment. How many of you are really desirous to not be in control, to let God be in control? And then this is an example. Somebody else is driving, but you're not. You're not in control. So you got to be letting God be in control of the person that is in control of that steering wheel. How many of you know what I'm talking about there? In all circumstances, there can be a battle going on. And you can just be so fired up on the inside because they're not slowing down. They're going too fast.
they need to be turning because we need to get to where we're going. But it's a yellow light. It's not a green light. And they can go through this red light because there's no cameras and everybody else is going through this green light because the light is so slow. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just a hot thing. It's just a good example of giving things over to the Lord Jesus at all times. It's a difficult area. And I want to give you this testimony. It dependent upon the Lord at all times in all circumstances. I was coming home with a big truck and a 28-foot long trailer yesterday, coming the back way heading toward 41 from Dale Mabry Highway. And there is speed bump after speed bump after speed bump. I told Shirley about this, but I want to say it again today. I told somebody about it. I forget who it was. I guess I didn't tell you. Okay. I'll tell you now. It could be you behind me. It could be somebody else. It could be me behind me. But when somebody has to go that slow over them speed bumps because they don't want to wreck everything inside that trailer, all my equipment, and it just it'd be crazy, it'd be insane to jump them because of somebody behind me. Mm-hmm. But you see, here I'm sharing with you about a battle, and I'm sharing with you about in all circumstances. And sometimes I think we just skip through it. We don't get the daily, moment-by-moment way we're to live. And so I have been anxious when someone's following me, and I can't go the speed. I can't even get the speed limit because of the situation that I'm handling. I can't do that. Person behind me, do you know that? I want to get out of my truck and say, look, I can't go as fast as you want me to go, and I know you can jump over, and I can't do it. You understand? He said, man, are you nuts or what? You know, he wouldn't understand. But that's what's going on in my heart. So this is it. Carlos, this is it. You know what I decided to do instead of be anxious about that because I can see my rearview mirror? I know they want to go around. I know what they want to go around me so fast because they've done it and then cut right back in front of me to let me know they're not really happy about going that slow. I know that because I can see me doing that. And so what I did was, Lord, I'm going to negotiate every speed bump. I'm not going to wreck my equipment and I'm not going to be anxious about it in this circumstance because this is where I am. I don't know where you are. This is where I am right now. And I want to go over that bump in peace, without worrying about what they're thinking or what they want to do to me or anything else. I don't know if the church gets this all the time, but you can come to church, you can sing Rock of Ages, we can sing Little as Much, we can do all those things, we can see healings, we can see deliverances, we can do all those things, but when we go out of here, who are you? What happened to you in your joy? And your closeness, who are you going out of here? And what I see so many times is a behavior not becoming a Christian. And this is not good to say this. This is how I am. I'm being real. I'm being honest. This is who I am. This is how I act. And you think God is pleased with that? It is true. You're being very honest. It is who you are. It is how you act. But God doesn't want you to stay there. See, that's what you got to realize. I see how you are. You're being very honest. But you clean the mouth up, clean the attitude up, clean your intentions up. And in every circumstance, why don't you start trusting me? Why don't you start trusting me in every little thing like this? But I want you to know, when I was doing this and negotiating many, many speed bumps, this is one, not just a couple, it was a long way and this person had to follow me. I decided that in that moment, I was going to be a child of God and be able to drive home with peace in my heart without the train trying to run me down. And I tell you what, that's a long black train. All it wants to do is get you riled up and get you home. And you get home, you're all disheveled, and you get home and everything. Yeah, man, I got up there before they closed, and I got through all that traffic and all them speed bumps and everything. And all your equipment is back upside down, and some of us banged into each other and all that kind of stuff. And you're all just, you get home and you pull up, and you just can't wait because something else is going on that you're kind of, you feel you're late for. You're always late, never on time. But with the Lord, you're always on time. With the Lord, you're always on time because you're walking with Him. Come follow me. You think Jesus is going to be late? Jesus is not going to be late. But if you come follow Him, you're going to be on time. Following after Him.
panting after Him. You're going to be on time. And it's always that rush. How many of you experience what I'm talking about? The rush to get something, to get from one place to another because something else is going on. It's crazy to continue to live that way. Yeah, but man, they're dependent upon you, and I know you had a flat tire, and you're going to be late, and you can't call them because there's no cell phone on the other end to receive your call, and they're waiting on you. You. But guess what? You have a flat tire. What are you going to do? You can either try to run there, you're never going to make it, or you can get help fixing that tire, waiting for the interstate guys to come along and fix your tire. But in peace, can you sit there and say, there's nothing I can do about this? There's nothing. It's out of my control. And you can say to the Lord, just like in your hand, I don't know what to do, but God, I'm going to put my eyes upon you. To me, the daily life of looking to Jesus and the continuity of that flow of looking to Him, let the Spirit flow through you, will set you free from a lot of these encumbrances that we have in between our meetings like this. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was not perfect, but he was determined to reform God's people and turn them away from paganism and idolatry to serve the living God. In this spiritual warfare, he also said to the judges, consider what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord who is with you when you render judgment. I want to say this today. Our courts are in trouble with the Lord. There's a lot of Christian judges, I'm sure, and lawmakers, legislatures, and senators, and Congress. I know there are. But there's a lot of momentum going to get away from God's judgment and God's word to where they're thinking we got it all figured out. We're smart. Mm-hmm. We got our economy figured out. We got warfare figured out. We know where to go, where not to go. We got a great gross national product and we're cool and we're working on oil and we're working all these things. It's all going to get better. But I don't hear anything about any repentance or our leaders in Washington calling for a fast and prayer to seek the face of God because we need Him. The Dow Jones right now, just crazy record. I've been reading it. The Dow Jones, just record closings. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, howdy, aren't we happy? Everybody's got to be happy because everything's, wow, look out, look out. You get a balloon, whatever. It could be the U.S. economy or whatever's going on. Oh, man, it keeps getting bigger. What's going to happen? It's going to blow up. Amen. It's going to blow up. Your life's going to blow up. Without Jesus. Well, I've got away with that, and I don't see anything happen. I even cursed God. I even took God's name in vain, and I crossed that line, that boundary of defacing God and His Word, and I don't see lightning. So let me cross another line. I don't see lightning. Let me cross another line. I don't see lightning. Free sex everywhere. People meeting together, having fun. I understand just recently there's a thing going where people can just meet. It has nothing to do with anything about love or connection or anything except just getting together and have some fun, guys and girls, whatever. And that's it. Bye. It's a contract. Sign the contract, get together, and that's it, you know. And no repercussions, you know, no things happening because of this. And just we're going crazy here. And so there was an admonition back there with Jehoshaphat, and he told his people, you do not judge. You be careful what you're doing, for you do not judge for man, but you are judging for the Lord. And right now, many of our legislatures and courts are judging for man, not the Lord. They're judging for pressure from peer groups or whatever, and that's how they're judging. We got this momentum going behind us for the issue of gays and lesbians, and so we're going to judge in favor because that's what they want. And the Lord said, be careful. They're judging for man, not the Lord. What about abortion? They're judging for man, not the Lord. When Jehoshaphat came under attack by Moab and Ammon, he called for a fast, gathered Judah together to seek help from the Lord, and said, we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. Arthur, sometimes I don't know what to do. And be honest with the Lord.
I don't know, Daniel. I don't know what to do. I don't like what I see in me. But Lord, my eyes are upon you, and I trust you to help me get over whatever it is that I'm having trouble getting over. I want to love that person, not have animosity toward them. Every time I think of their name, I cringe. I want the love of God to come through me toward whomsoever, no matter what they have done to me. I can have a court right now, and we can sit here and I can share with you all kinds of stuff of what's been done to me. But that's all about me. It's not about Jesus. And so, I don't know what to do is a great prayer. But my eyes are upon thee is a greater prayer.
Amen.
I sense that about you, Arthur. But Arthur, I sense that about me. See, here's a mirror. It's not about comparing. I don't know what to do. People that don't know how to pray, you can pray that. Anybody can say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. But my eyes are upon you, and I know I want you in my life. More intimately, more daily, more moments in my life, I want you. Does it make sense what is being said here about all these other moments? In the kitchen, in the laundry room, wherever you are, mowing the yard, repairing the roof, going to work. I-O, it's off the work I go. Oh, you're a happy soul, aren't you? We owe, that's okay, we owe. But God will make a way for what we owe to be paid His way. So don't be burdened over what you owe. Breathe. Jesus. Now, let's say that. That's a prayer. Breathe Jesus now. Okay, so you go out, you mean that with all your heart, but you do something wrong and you know it. What do? Repent.
Yeah.
In what time frame?
Quickly.
And the devil will want you to just, you didn't mean it. You rotten, you dirty, rotten scoundrel. You didn't mean it. Did you? And he'll try to get you and grind you into that dirt so deep that he will make you believe, he's a great salesman, that you actually lied to the Lord. You didn't mean it after all. It is my cry, I know it's God's cry, that we really apply our Christianity every moment. Amen. Not just once in a while. The Spirit of God, the last paragraph next to the last, responded and said, "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem, O Arthur Greenacre, O Carlos, O Mark, O Shirley, O Helen. Station yourselves." You stationed yourself before these people today. You didn't have to do that. I don't think Carlos said, "Get up there." I don't think he nods you or pushed you out of your seat. You seem to come up on your own. Station yourselves before the Lord. Position is everything. Location is everything. Place yourself before the Lord and call out to Him. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. The battle is giving the battle to the Lord, though. And last, similarly, we also may not know what to do at times, but we may be quick to turn our eyes on Jesus and see the deliverance and salvation of our mighty God. 2 Chronicles 19:20. You can read it again. You can review that. But may God help us, because we're a part of the great church of Jesus Christ on this earth, to be able to occupy till He comes. Occupy, Jesus said, until I come. Occupy doing what, God? What is there to do? What is there to do in this life to occupy? Spiritually, yes. Physically, yes. Mentally, yes. We got to occupy. A book of instruction from a course of study, whether it be chemistry or physics at school or history,
Study it as unto the Lord. That's where you are right now. Oh, I wish I was at home studying and having piano lessons or with my fellow, you know, friends, and I don't want to be here, but you need to be there. Sometimes it's not something you necessarily want to do, but you need to be right where you are and doing it as unto the Lord Himself, as though God were the instructor. That would change our attitude. I really believe that. To walk with Him. Walk with Him. Jesus said, come follow me. Where do you live, Jesus? He said, come and see. I wonder what He showed them. Probably something they did not expect. Where do you live? He said, come and see. And it doesn't take us. It doesn't show us, you know, some physical place. Birds have nests. Foxes have holes. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Are you restless? Because the battle is raging. And multitudes, it says multitudes are coming against Jehoshaphat. Multitudes. Have you ever had multitudes of thoughts? Multitudes of things come into your life on a daily basis? Multitudes. Many things. And it's just too much. How many of you ever felt overloaded? I'm getting ready to go outside in the morning. Something happens that you don't need to happen. A plate falls and breaks all over the place. 1,000 pieces. Leave it to Shirley. Leave it to a carrier. What kind of attitude is that? Why not in the moment, no matter what's going on, where you need to be, pick all the splinters up, vacuum them up, wipe them up so they don't cut their feet or do harm to them? That's not about us. It's about them. It's about the Lord. It's about a servant's heart. But there are going to be things happen in your life that you don't need to happen, right? I got a ticket recently. Been down this road many, many times. Ehrlich, near Turner Road. There's a junior high there, our middle school. Walker, I think. Whatever. I think it's Walker.
Benji Hill?
No, it's a middle school. Anyhow, I'm coming around the corner after leaving a nursery, and I'm just my own business. The speed limit is 20. School just let out, which is unusual for me to be there. And there's always a flashing light there. Always. There's a fire station there. Always flashing. I said, well, I know about that flashing light. It's a fire station. 45-mile-per-hour speed limit. Well, the sheriff didn't think so. That saw me and said, I was going like 35 and 20-mile-per-hour zone. $393. Doubled. Fines doubled. When school is when these lights are on. And with all my heart, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. It's not good management of my thoughts and money that has to go out. $393. I about croaked. I wanted to ask her if she would please have compassion. I didn't do it. You know, give me a warning. I get the picture. But it happened. And I told the Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't need to do that. But it was because I was inattentive. It was because there were a lot of little foxes that go on sometimes that you're not aware of your circumstances. And sometimes you're not aware of them and you say things you shouldn't be saying. And you do things you shouldn't be doing. See, I want to have a presence to be with the Lord no matter where I am and not let those foxes distract me from my walk in the Lord. And sometimes in this world, it will cost you for your violation. And so we learn. And right now, I'll tell you, what do you think it did to me when I'm around the school zone from now, right now, lately? I don't care what they're doing behind me. I don't care how close they're following me. I don't care how much they want to get around me. Speed limit, 30. Speed limit, 35. Speed limit. Any flashing lights? You know? I'm wanting to comply. So when sometimes the Lord slaps us, you know, or spanks us, remember that. And slow down and trust me. And we'll be more successful of trusting God, being aware of God after He disciplines us over a given issue. I believe that with all my heart. So today, anyone listening to this message, may God bless you and help you to give the battle to the Lord because it's raging. And Satan wants to chew up, grind up, pulverize God's people and spit them out to where they are of no use and no good whatsoever. We will become more useful by becoming more aware of the living God in our daily life. I thank God for those recently that are making commitments to do it God's way. May God help Arthur to be able to do it God's way. No matter how what's happened in the past, this is real stuff right now. And may God help him to be the man God called him to be at an older age. And Clay, may God help you be the man he called you to be at your young age. And Mike, our younger ones, and Daniel, you know, praise God for trenches to dig, man. Praise God you got a trench to dig. I would dig from I would dig one from here to New York City if God had me dig, and if that's what God had me do, without the complaining of, what are you doing? I'm digging, what are you doing? Well, I'm up here, I'm soldering these joints. I don't see your hands dirty, man. What are you, how long you been doing that? How long am I going to be digging? You see, it's all about you. To me, I'd be so grateful that I have a foot to put on a shovel to have the energy to dig that piece of dirt up and to throw it up there, or an axe to chop, or whatever down there to chop to get it loose to get through. I am so grateful. There's no reason, there's no time to be foolish and to be going around like a brat. We got too many brats in the church. God forgive us. And God help us to get out there. Remember one time, Linda? Shirley, one time God gave shovels out to everybody. That was a long time ago. But God gave everybody a shovel and said, go dig. For all the you that may have gotten something out of this today, maybe listening or here today, may you really apply your Christianity on a daily basis in everything you do as unto the Lord. And may God help you do it. God bless you.